Ed, I guess you were expecting to start a little early. That's all right. But we need a few more children up on the front row. There's an awful lot of empty seats up here. And it's much more encouraging to talk to filled seats than empty seats. Besides, I'll have a little giveaway for later on for those that are up here in the front row. Good. Well, we got a few here. Now you know how we usually do this, is we sing, we try to concentrate on the songs that are on the back where it says children's hymns and choruses, but there's lots of good songs inside the hymn sheet too, but we'd like to concentrate on the stuff on the back, but we'll take suggestions. So does anybody have a song they would like to start with this morning? Yes?
44.
Number 44. Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried. Said he, nobody ever has told it to me. This is a true story about a missionary who visited a boy in a gypsy tent. This boy was dying, and he learned about the Lord Jesus and trusted the Lord Jesus before he died. Number 44. Into the you know, this song has a wonderful message in it. It's in the end of the last verse here. God sent His Son. Whosoever, He said He, then I am sure that He sent Him for me. I hope everyone here this morning is sure that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ for you. Now, there's still room on the front rows. We'd like to see more boys and girls on the front row. Now's the opportunity to come forward. Okay, do we have any other choices? If we don't get a choice from the front row, we'll take a choice from elsewhere. And I have bad eyesight, so if you want to make noise when you wave your hand, that's all right too. All right? What number?
Five.
Number five. All right. Number five. We'll sing the whole song. Oh, happy day. Now, you know there's a big word in the beginning of the second verse of this song. It says, "'Tis done, the great transaction's done." And I remember singing this song when I was a boy, a young boy, and I didn't know what a transaction was. It sounded pretty impressive. It said, "The great transaction's done," and so it sounded good, and I enjoyed singing about it. Who can tell me what a transaction is? It says, "The great transaction is done." What is a transaction? Anybody on the front row know what a transaction is? Nobody knows on the front row what a transaction is. Well, how about, who would like to volunteer for a transaction? Good. All right. Transaction is very simple. Trans means across. When I was a boy, there was an airline called Trans World Airways, TWA. I think it actually flew into Des Moines. I flew on it. TWA, Trans World Airways. And trans means across. So they wanted you to get the idea that they went all over the world. Trans means across. It gives the idea of something going from one place to another. And an action, what's an action? It's something you do. This is a transaction. I'm going to give you a calendar. Thank you. That was a transaction. Wasn't that simple? I held it out and he received it. What's your name?
Lane.
Pardon?
Lane.
I gave Lane a calendar and he just took it like that. Was that difficult? No. Big word for a simple action. But you know, there's a great transaction that's just as simple. And that's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so the person who wrote this song had experienced that transaction. They had received, that this person had received the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And he said, "'Tis done, it's done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and He is mine." And you know, what's Sunday school all about? What is Sunday school all about? Paul? Exactly. It's about Jesus and me. And Jesus and you. That's what it's all about. This first song we sang, there was a gypsy boy who realized that Jesus loved him and died for him. And he received Jesus. The person who wrote this song received the Lord Jesus. Has everyone in this room simply received the Lord Jesus? That's the big question this morning. All right, how about another song? All right. Number one. Okay. It doesn't seem like we're concentrating on the back of the sheet, but that's fine. This is a very serious song. And we don't sing it much in Sunday school. I wonder if anybody knows the story behind this song. You know, there was a ruler that the Apostle Paul was preaching to, and he said, "You almost persuade me." It's a terrible thing to be almost persuaded. That's like almost getting in, but missing the boat, or missing the train, or missing the plane. You know, being almost is not good enough. All right, number one. We need to be conscious that the Lord is speaking to us this morning. Notice this first verse says, "Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way." Has anyone here consciously said that? No, the song says it seems that way. Because the Spirit of God is speaking to souls. You know, God speaks to us all the time. The problem is we just don't realize it. God is always ready and willing to communicate with us. Our problem is we don't listen. And so it seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day to thee I'll come. As if we could decide on a better time. Now, today is the day of salvation. All right. How about another song? Any more in the front row here? Okay, somewhere else. Someone want to help me? 41. All right. Number 41. All round the throne of
God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heaven the anthem bring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. In shining robes the spotless white each one will be arrayed, dwelling in everlasting light and joys that never fade, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. What brings them to that world above that heaven so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love, our kings of children there singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. Because the Savior shed his blood to wash away their sin, now our sin that most precious blood, behold them white and clean, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high.
You know, there's lots of children in heaven right now. You going to join them? You going to be with them to sing with them around the throne of God? Are you ready to go to heaven right now? We don't know how long we have. I had a cousin who died when he was 6 years old. Went to be with the Lord Jesus, I believe. I have a son who went to be with the Lord Jesus when he was 6 years old. How old are you? How old are you? 10. God's given you 4 more years of life. Now, it's time to pray, and then we'll say the verse. Our had an easy verse, I thought. Now, maybe you don't learn the memory verse, but is anyone here who did learn the memory verse that would like to say it this morning? All right, Paul. What?
What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16. 16:30-31.
Very good. Anybody else? Go ahead. Very good. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else on this side? You You want to say the verse? And thou? Sixteen. 31. All right. Did you want to say the verse this morning? Go ahead.
What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:30-31.
Very good. All right. I forgot about getting the mic. I could move this mic and you could have heard the other boys here. Now, I want to talk about surprises and suicide this morning. Isn't that a strange combination? But it relates to the verse we had to memorize. How many here like surprises? Always? Are all surprises good surprises? I remember, and maybe some of you heard this story before, and you'll forgive me. I remember when I was 12 years old, on a nice Sunday afternoon, and why I did it, I don't know. I got on my bicycle, went for a bicycle ride, and I was still wearing my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And I was going down the street, and my front wheel fell off. Do you think that was a surprise? Do you think it was a good surprise? No, it wasn't a good surprise. I got all banged up and ruined my pants, and my mother wasn't happy, and I wasn't happy. I had to fix my bike. I won't go into this long story how that wheel came off, but it was really strange. It was a total surprise. What had happened, something inside the steering column had rusted so badly, and you couldn't tell it, couldn't see it, and it just fell apart. There's good surprises and bad surprises. I had a surprise yesterday, and they asked me to speak this morning. So I asked the brother, well, what's the memory verse? I like to talk about the memory verse, and then he brought me this paper. And I said, oh, wonderful, that's one of my favorite stories. So let's talk about Acts chapter 16. The story in Acts chapter 16, we'll talk about this briefly. We'll read it together and see how this verse fits in. Acts chapter 16. And there's a lot of surprises in this story. And we'll start with verse 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. The Apostle Paul was in Philippi. And we've been in the reading the Bible. In the reading meetings, we've been in the epistle to the Philippians, so this fits in good too. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Anybody know what soothsaying is? Yes. Yeah, saying that, predicting what was going to happen. Right. She did fortune telling. That's what soothsaying is. This poor girl, she was possessed with a spirit of divination. Now that's a demon. But she thought she could tell people their future. And people believed her. And they paid to listen to her. You think, isn't that silly? Well, people do it today too. People listen to lies produced by the devil. And, well, we see what happens here. The same, verse 17, the same, that's that girl, followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And she did this many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates. And we'll stop there. You see, this girl, she had a couple of people who were making money off her. And when Paul commanded the demon to leave her, why she was no longer convincing as a soothsayer. I'm not saying that all these people that you know, and I see ads for it, you know. I'm not going to assume that all these people that claim they can predict the future are demon possessed. But this girl was, and now she couldn't do her job anymore because the demon had left her. And her masters, her employers were unhappy, and they caught Paul and Silas and took them to the magistrates, that's the authorities, saying, verse 20, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." So the magistrates, the authorities, they listened to these men who were lying, and the crowd was all upset too, and the people around were all upset, and so they took Paul and Silas and tore off their clothes and beat them. Now, does that sound like fun? Anybody interested in the beating this morning? No? I'll tell you about that in a minute. And it says here, verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Now, if you read another translation, it says they were commanded to be beaten with rods. And so I borrowed a rod here this morning. You might not recognize it as one, but it's close enough. I'm going to make it a little bit longer here. Make it up. There. Something like that. You know, they say a beating really helps to focus the thinking. Is that the way you want to start your day or end your day? That's the way Paul and Silas ended their day. It says they laid many stripes on them. They beat them a lot. And then what? Who knows what happened next without looking? Some of you must know this story. Yes. Put them in prison. That's right. Yeah, they didn't take them to the hospital and treat them nicely. They put them in prison. Let's read it here. It says, they commanded to beat them, and when they had laid many stripes on them, that means they beat them a lot, they cast them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, this is something that was really uncomfortable. So they were beaten, their clothes were ripped off them, it wasn't done gently, and they were put in prison. Their feet were in stocks. That means they were clamped in a particular way, so they couldn't move very well. And the prisons, I've been in a number of prisons in my life. The Roman prisons were not nice places. They were dirty, filthy, and they just weren't comfortable places. They weren't meant to be nice. And it was dark. It says because they were on the inside, the inner prison. And they told the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. How many here have ever been shut up in a room that didn't want to be? Has anyone ever been? I remember that when I was a child, sometimes I was disobedient, my mother would make me go to my room. Anybody ever have that happen to them? You had to stay in your room? And even though I liked my room, I didn't like having to stay in it. But this wasn't even a nice room. Paul and Silas were in this room. And the reason they were in this room and suffering is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they've been preaching about the Lord Jesus. So, and I saw a couple boys here raise their hands. They said they've been shut up in the room. Were you happy there? No. Notice what Paul and Silas did. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. It's a good thing to do when you're shut up. Just pray. But they did more than pray. Now, I mean, usually when we pray, we don't pray real loud necessarily. And I don't know that Paul and Silas prayed real loud. After you've been beaten a lot, maybe you wouldn't feel like praying very loud. But it says they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Just think what it's like in that dark prison. And a lot of unhappy people in there. It's midnight, and the people are not sleeping well because they've been sitting there all day. They're not tired. And all of a sudden, they hear Paul and Silas singing, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord." You know the chorus? "Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." Now, wouldn't that be a surprise in a jail? But something like that happened. We don't know what hymn they sang, but it says they sang praise to God, and the prisoners heard them. And somebody else heard them. Who else heard them?
The jailer.
Nope. The jailer was sound asleep. Doesn't say that. I don't think the jailer heard them because I'll show you why in a minute. Who else heard them singing? The Lord. Yeah, God did. And God did something. It says here, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake." That's another surprise. "There was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed." I imagine the chains that Paul and Silas and other prisoners were fastened with were fastened into the stone walls, and they had an earthquake, and possibly those chains just fell right out of the walls. What else happens? It says here, "The foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands or chains were loosed. And then the keeper of the prison woke up." I don't think he heard the singing, but he felt the earthquake. What's an earthquake like? What's an earthquake like? Yeah. Go ahead.
Really shaky.
Yeah, it's really shaky. Can you imagine this whole room shaking? Would that bother you? You looked up there and saw those lamps swinging all of a sudden and everybody moving around like that. Yeah, it's a very disturbing experience. And this jailer, he woke up and he was scared. And then he looked and he saw all the doors were open. And he did something that you and I wouldn't have done. We probably would have run out and see what we could do about the situation. The jailer did something else. He took out his sword. He probably kept his sword right near him. He took out his sword and he was going to kill himself. You know why? Because the jailers in those days were responsible for their prisoners. If they lost a prisoner, they were going to be killed anyway. That's the way the Roman government worked. If a jailer lost his prisoner, he gave up his life to pay for the prisoner. Well, this jailer assumed all the prisoners were gone. He was going to kill himself. And there was another surprise. Paul shouted out, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." Do you think the jailer was glad to hear that? What do you think? Yeah. Wonderful thing to hear. This is a really an earth-shaking experience for him. And so he says here, "Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And we, this morning, said the answer that Paul gave him. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That was good news. That was good news to that man. And it made the difference in his life. He believed. Notice what it says here. "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' And Paul and Silas spoke unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat," that's food, "before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." And so we sang that song this morning, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice." This man was happy. You know, believing and happiness go together. Trusting the Lord. I look at sometimes boys and girls and I wonder, do they really love the Lord? Do they trust the Lord? Are you happy this morning because the Lord Jesus is your Savior? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." This jailer knew he was in danger. He wasn't afraid of the earthquake. He was afraid of the God that made the earthquake. Are you ready to meet God? Are you in danger of God's judgment this morning? You may be sitting back behind other people thinking that this is all for the boys and girls up front. But every one of us is responsible to God. Are you ready to meet God? And I've gone over my time already. And I had another story to tell you. I was going to tell you a story about... I got too enthused about this. So I'll let you read the story. Oh, 10:15. Okay, I do have time. All right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to tell you about a person named Valentine Burke. Was Valentine Burke a boy or a girl? What do you think? Valentine Burke. A boy. You think a boy would have a name, would be named Valentine? How many boys would like the name Valentine? No? Well, you're right. His name was Valentine. I don't know if that had anything to do with the way Valentine grew up, but there was a boy named Valentine Burke. And I think he would have had a rough time with that name. But he grew up and he got a reputation for his occupation. He was known as Burke the Burglar. What did Burke the Burglar do for a living? What did Burke the Burglar do for a living? Anybody know what a burglar is? Paul?
It's a robber.
Robber, a thief, yeah. He burgled for a living. We don't use that word very much. But that's the right term. Burke the Burglar burgled for a living. You think it was a very good living? Where do you think he ended up? In a nice house? Where do you think he ended up? In jail, of course. That's where most burglars end up pretty quick. Burke the Burglar burgled his way into jail. He stole things. He went out at night, probably, mostly, and stole things. I don't know too much about his history before he got caught. But he ended up in jail. He thought he had a bad deal. And now, this is a true story. And it happened about 120 years ago. 130 years ago. Burke the Burglar got caught. And he was put in jail. And someone brought him a newspaper. And there was an article in the newspaper. And the article was titled, "How the Jailer at Philippi got Caught." And Burke thought, "Now, that's doing things my way." He wanted to read that story. Now, I want to tell you the story. We just read it. because it was a sermon by D.L. Moody, and in those days they printed D.L. Moody's sermons in the newspaper. And D.L. Moody, an evangelist, had talked about how the jailer at Philippi got caught. Did he get caught? Yes, he did. He got caught right in his own bed. God woke him up and made him realize he needed a Savior. Well, Burke the burglar read that story, and it wasn't what he expected. And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he said, you know, I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ too. And he got saved that night. And later on, he was released from prison, from jail, and he had a hard time getting a job. He went from place to place looking for work, and who wants to hire a burglar? He had a reputation. But eventually, the sheriff called him in, and Burke thought, oh no, they found something more about me. And he went into the sheriff's office, and the sheriff said, Burke, how's this religion going for you? And Burke said, it's good. And the sheriff says, I know. When you got religion, I set my men to watch you. And you've lived straight. I've got a job for you. I want you to be a guard. And he ended up being a guard. In one case, he was guarding a valuable shipment of diamonds. And I think it was Mr. Moody came to visit him. And Burke the burglar was saying, look, I used to be a burglar and now they trust me with all this wealth. Why? Because God had made a new man out of Burke the burglar. Now, I have extra copies of this story of Burke the burglar. If anybody wants to read them, I'll put them up here on this table, and the kids on the front row can help themselves first, and if there's any left over, why anybody else can. And then I have another little paper here that tells the story a little different way. I told you this is one of my favorite stories because, you know, I have friends who committed suicide. And it's to me, it's a very painful thing. Even these days, children think about suicide. And I know that a lot of people in this room, at one time or another, maybe when they were children, maybe when they were teenagers, they thought about suicide. What is suicide? What does the word suicide mean? Anybody know what the word suicide means? We've got some pretty intelligent fellows on the front row here. What does suicide mean? Self-murder. Suicide. Yeah, that's not a word that most children know, but unfortunately some children do it, and teenagers do it, and it's nice to be warned in advance that there is something better. That jailer, he was going to commit suicide, he was going to kill himself because he was so upset about the way things were turning out, and then he got the message from God, do yourself no harm. I want to tell you, Satan's got lots of suggestions for your minds. His ways always lead to death. Do yourself no harm. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a little booklet written up showing how God was titled, Do Yourself No Harm, How, When, Where, and Why God Stopped a Suicide. Maybe you know somebody that could use a book like that. And so again, boys and girls on the front row get the first choice. Maybe we have time for one more hymn. One more song. All right. 46.
Glad
Remember our verse said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's God's promise. The Lord Jesus is all we need. Sometimes I illustrate what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in chairs. I've been sitting in one here at this conference. I believe in this chair. But now I'm believing on it. I'm committing my whole weight to it. Can you trust the Lord Jesus just that way?